And this morning, as we consider what following Jesus means, I want to try and answer a question that I know is keeping you up at night. I know it really is. It's really on your heart. So on this journey of following Jesus, the question is, what should we wear? What should we wear? I know you've been dying to know this. You want to follow Jesus, but you just don't know what to wear. Now, you may not know this, but in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul actually tells us what Jesus' followers are supposed to wear. He does in the New Testament. And that ought to scare you a little bit, make you a little nervous, because he was writing 2,000 years before the invention of buttons and zippers or Kate Spade and Calvin Klein. And just so that we're all on the same page, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament letters, the letters that make up the New Testament, did not start out as a follower of Jesus. In fact, he was a Jewish religious leader, really high up Jewish religious leader, and his name was Saul. And he hated Christians and Christianity. And he actually describes himself in the book of Acts as a Christian hunter. Not a Christian who goes hunting, but someone who hunts Christians. Like, his whole idea was to squash Christianity because he saw it as a cult or kind of a knockoff of Judaism, and he wanted to get rid of it. He probably would be the guy that would wear the shirt that said, you know, don't make me come down there, you know, God. But in the process of putting Christians in jail, he actually became one. And so he starts telling others about Jesus, and he plants these little churches or gatherings of Jesus followers, and then he writes them letters afterwards to try to coach them along and help them follow Jesus. And it's those letters that make up the bulk of the New Testament after the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. And in his letters, he begins to flesh out the teachings of Jesus, making them really practical for these Gentile Christians, right, who, just like us, most of us, don't have a Jewish background. And the primary teaching of Jesus that Paul leveraged over and over and over again was something that Jesus said right near the end of his time on the planet. So, put it in context, Jesus is close to being arrested, and he knows what's ahead for him. He knows it's the cross that's on his path. That's his destination. And he says to his inner circle of guys that he's going to be leaving. And where he's going, they can't follow. They can't follow. Now, up to this point, they've spent the better part of 3 years following him everywhere that he's gone. And then he says, you can't follow me where I'm going now. And so he focuses them. He focuses them on the main thing, the most important thing that he will ever say about, you know, follow me living. And here's what he says: a new commandment I give you. Love one another. Love one another. And then he doesn't stop there. He actually ups the bar. He raises the standard for them. He says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. In other words, if you forget anything that I've said, I want you to remember this. You must love one another like I have loved you. You aren't to love one another like you love one another, but you must love one another like I have shown love to you. Take your cue from me. And he might have even looked around and said, you know, Matthew, remember how the other guys were not really that interested in you following me, and I asked you to follow me in spite of what they were thinking and before you changed anything or before you believed anything. Remember that day? Remember that? I want you to love these guys the same way that I loved you. Nathaniel, another one of the inner circle. Remember the very first thing you said about me? Yeah, John wrote it down, right? John said that you said, can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? In other words, Nathaniel, you dissed my whole family, you dissed my hometown, and how did I respond? I said, Nathaniel, come and follow me. And then maybe he looks at all of them and says, remember, guys, when I preached that sermon about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, and it freaked everybody out, and it freaked you all out, and a whole ton of people said, I'm out, and they stopped following. Remember how I responded when I knew that you were about to leave as well? I chose not to abandon you. So when I say, I want you to love like I've loved, that's what I'm talking about. And this is the part that drove so much of what Paul taught the Christians in these churches that he had planted. He said, by this kind of unique Jesus love, by this kind of unique Jesus love, everyone will know that you're one of my disciples, that you're following me, right? Jesus says, if you love like I have loved, then people will know that you're one of my disciples. This is what will distinguish you. This is the thing I want people to see and I want people to experience when they are around you, because it will cause them to say, ah, I get it. You must be a follower of Jesus by the way you live, the way you act. And Peter, in this moment, when Jesus is giving them the main thing, right? Jesus is getting ready to head to the cross. He's giving them the main thing, the most important thing, this incredible identity statement, this defining characteristic of love for the followers of Jesus. That really is the most important thing. Peter responds by saying, Lord, where are you going? Jesus is like, what? And Peter's like, yeah, like 10 minutes ago you said you were going someplace. Where are you going? And Jesus is thinking, I just gave you the main thing, like the most important thing. And Peter's like, yeah, but where are you going? And Peter asked, as Peter was, you know, he's always the first guy, you know, out of the boat, as it were. And they're all thinking it, though, right? And they're just like us, the inner circle, the disciples. They're just like us. Like, yeah, love one another. Got it. Check. Where are we going for lunch afterwards when this is done? You know, or, yeah, I know, love one another. I know, love one another. But there's this kid at school, and he is just, I just can't stand him. So is it okay to just ignore him, just kind of put him to the margins? Or, yeah, love one another. I get it. Check. Got it. But there's this woman in my office, and she's just such a pain. So, Dean, do you think the church could hire me instead kind of thing? Right? The whole love one another thing, we've heard it so many times, right? And Jesus is like, you know what? That's not a throwaway. It's not an afterthought or a religious line or something that fits really well in a worship song. I want the characteristic of intentional, unusual love to mark you as my followers. Here at Nashville Road Community Church, it's why our elders think it's so important to put the words under our church name, that we are a people who are living out the love of God. We're not living out our human love, because our love has limits. God's love overflows with beauty, with justice, with freedom. And it just keeps going, and it goes and goes, and it goes the extra mile, because God's love has no limits. And so we are living out God's love. But the truth is, all religions, and I'll include Christianity in this as well, in all religions, the gravity or pull is away from treating people like Jesus did and towards some kind of routine or ritual. Religion is always, and we talked about this back in September, is always towards rules. And Jesus invited us to a relationship. Religion pulls towards rule-keeping, and Jesus pulls towards relationship building. And I'll tell you why rule-keeping seems easier, because it gives us the idea that we're in control, and it is easier. Rule-keeping, no matter how hard the rules may be, are always easier than relationship, right? And religion, as we talked about before, is about the vertical relationship, and Jesus invited us into a relationship where the vertical relationship between us and God is taken care of because of his sacrifice for us, and the emphasis now for how we live is on the horizontal relationship between each other. The relationship between us and God and Jesus is taken care of. Now the emphasis is on the horizontal relationship between each other. And so as a follower of Jesus, I can't live a life where I love God but mistreat others. Jesus says, I want to make sure that our relationship doesn't go the way of religion, because the tendency is for rituals and rule keeping to replace the priority of treating others with love. And maybe there's some of you here, maybe your experience in the past has been, in the name of religion, or at worse, in the name of Jesus, some of you have been mistreated. Some of you were told that you can or you can't because, and you know, fill in the blank, right? And the person or the group may have justified it by saying, well, it's because the church believes this or because Jesus said. And so in essence, what happened to you is that you were rejected in the name of the Savior who died for you. And the truth is, I don't I just don't think that Jesus is happy when his followers mistreat the people that he died for. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus, you know, he said he knew if he just leaves these guys, this sort of inner circle, his disciples, you know, the religious gravity will pull them towards pointing to Jesus with words while their actions lag farther and farther behind. Because it's always easier to, you know, to point and to preach than it is to go and to love. And so Jesus makes it really, really clear that the thing I'm looking for, the thing that will distinguish you as one of my followers, is the way you love other people. And he says, I'm not asking you to love them the way you think they deserve to be loved, but the way I have loved you. And he's saying, don't ever substitute anything for that. Don't substitute anything for that. In Christianity, it's so easy to substitute discipline for discipleship. You know, substitute the disciplines of prayer and Bible study and, you know, church attendance or small group attendance or whatever for discipleship. And the word discipleship is just another word for followship. No amount of Bible study or prayer or worship or Bible knowledge will ever be a substitute for actually following Jesus as it relates to loving other people. All religion gravitates to rule-keeping rather than relationship building. And loving people like Jesus loved is about loving people who are actually hard to like, let alone love. And Jesus says, this is what will distinguish you as my followers, how you love others. And so 22 years after Jesus was here, Paul is now a Christian. He's now a follower of Jesus. And he's going all around the Mediterranean telling others that God has done something revolutionary through Jesus, the Messiah. And he would start a church, a small gathering of the followers of Jesus. And then he'd, you know, he'd go someplace else. He'd get on a ship and he'd go to another place and he'd keep telling others over and over. And after a while, he becomes aware that these Jesus followers are beginning to feel the religional pull, right? And are coming up with routines and rules and formulas, and they begin to use their rules to as an excuse really to mistreat other people. And so he writes to them. And so in many of these letters, he goes back to the basics, and Paul takes this idea of loving each other and he makes it specific and practical and helps us see what should characterize the followers of Jesus. And so in the book of Colossians, which is a letter to the church, in, he wrote a letter to the church in Colossae, which today would be in modern day Turkey, actually. He writes to the Christians there about loving like Jesus. And in Colossians 3, he relates it to clothing, to what the followers of Jesus are supposed to wear. And so in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, and he's writing to Christians here, right, people following Jesus, he writes this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, right? There it is. I'm going to tell you what to wear. And then he gives some very specific characteristics that Christians are to mentally, maybe even emotionally, put on or wear. And he begins by saying, clothe yourselves with compassion. Clothe yourself with compassion. And the word that's translated here as compassion is actually more closely connected to the idea that we have where we say to somebody, I love you with all of my heart, right? And we're Valentine's Day's coming up, you know, I love you. You're going to find a card that's going to say, I love you with all of my heart. In fact, you will trip over cards because they will be everywhere. I love you with all of my heart. But in Greek culture, they wouldn't actually say it that way. They would mean the same thing, but they wouldn't say, I love you with all of my heart, but they would say, I love you with all of my bowels or my guts. Now, I challenge you to find a Hallmark card that has that on it for this Wednesday. So Paul is saying, clothe yourselves with something that each of you has experienced at some point. This sense of connection with somebody else's situation, but you don't feel it in your heart, right? You feel it lower in your stomach, right? In your gut. It's that when you hear somebody that's going through something or somebody tells you their situation, you feel like, ooh, like you feel it, like you've taken a punch, like you can totally identify. That's what Paul is getting at here when he says, clothe yourself with compassion. Feel it where it counts. Clothe yourself with a compassion that you feel. And how this is practical is that when we often consider our initial response to somebody, Paul is saying, I want you to be known as people who are compassionate, that you actually communicate that you feel what others are going through. You feel what they are experiencing. You don't jump in and try to solve their situation, right? Regardless, and I'm famous for this, but regardless of what the situation is or how they got into that situation, maybe they made some unwise decision that might have contributed to their situation, don't jump in and try to fix it. Don't jump in and say, maybe you should have done this, or maybe you shouldn't have done that, or maybe you should have worked a little bit harder, or whatever. I think part of those things is that we all sort of make excuses as to why we feel we don't need to extend compassion in some situations. But Paul is saying, I want you to wear it, put it on, so that you feel, before you do anything, you feel what the other person is going through before you say anything, before you react. And then Paul continues, I want you to clothe yourself with kindness. And you know what? I read this last week, and I think it's so cool. What kindness is kindness is when you loan your strength to someone else. Isn't that beautiful? That's what kindness is. It's when you loan your strength to someone else. So practical. Somebody needs help, and you extend yourself to them. You loan them your strength. Paul says, I want you to put on this new approach to life where you loan to people out of your strength. You give them your strength, right? So if somebody ever says to you, you're so kind, they are recognizing that you loan them in some way your capacity. That's what we're talking about doing with Manzoor and Zubair. We're loaning them our capacities, however great or small we think they may be, but we're loaning them our strength. Paul says, he continues, I want you to clothe yourself or put on compassion and kindness. And then he says, put on humility. Put on humility. And I think most of us kind of have a basic idea of what, we think humility is. But remember, all of these clothes, as it were, are in relationship to other people, to other people. When it comes to other people, Paul is saying, put on compassion, kindness. And then he says, and humility. And so humility in relationship to other people is viewing ourselves, viewing myself accurately as I am in relationship with others and God. Viewing myself accurately before others and before God. The danger of viewing ourselves inaccurately before God and others is often where a sense of entitlement or a sense of insecurity comes from. Paul says, view yourself accurately before God and others. And when I view myself accurately before others, it means I know, straight up, I am a citizen of humanity, just like everybody else. The fact that I can do some things differently or you can do some things differently than me doesn't change the fact that our blood is the same color, that we were all born naked. We had no control over where we were born or who we were born to, and we have very little control over when or where we will die. There's an equality among humanity, but what makes us all special isn't the amount of talent or money that we have or opportunity that we've had, but what makes you special and what makes me special is that we are loved by God the Father who sent Jesus for us all. And humility then allows me to approach anyone and for you to approach me as a peer, no matter what you do, no matter what I do, what we don't do, no matter how much we have, how much we don't have, how old we are, it doesn't matter what you've accomplished, what you haven't accomplished, what I've accomplished, what I haven't accomplished. Humility means we are peers in this world who live under the canopy of God's love. And Paul is saying, understand this, clothe yourself with humility so that when people might be tempted to interact with you because of your position or accomplishments or maybe your income, Paul is saying, I want you to understand that isn't what makes you special. What makes everyone special, you're like everyone else in the room. What makes you special is what makes them special, that God, who has invited all of us to call him Father, loves us all unconditionally and sacrificially through Jesus. And Paul is saying, I want you to live out that kind of humility with regards to other people. And then he continues. He says, clothe yourself with gentleness. And gentleness is, I think, another beautiful decision to respond or approach others in light of their strengths and weaknesses instead of responding out of my strengths. Gentleness is deciding to connect with others at their level of strength or weakness as we interact instead of me connecting with you at my strength. Look at it this way. It's the difference between picking up a contact lens or a baseball, right? We have the capacity to do both, but I will adjust my approach. I'll adjust my strength according to the need. And that means that people who wear gentleness don't come into a relationship or the conversation and maintain that relationship based on what they've accomplished or what their knowledge is or their insight or their background. They gear down. And it's not condescending. It actually has nothing to do with condescension. It has everything to do with communicating this, that my relationship with you is more important than you being impressed by me. My relationship with you is more important than you knowing my full capacity. And so I'm going to adjust for your benefit. Put on gentleness. And then he says, patience. Clothe yourself with patience. And patience is the decision that we make to go at the speed of the other person. That's all it is, right? Patience is gearing down and saying, I will move at your speed instead of mine. No matter what pressures I got going on, I will gear down and I will go at your speed instead of mine. Paul says, these are what you want to wear. These are what you want to put on every morning. It's what I want you to be known by. And then he kind of summarizes with a couple of really, really big thoughts. He says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. And then he ties it all back to what Jesus taught throughout his life. He says, forgive as you've been forgiven by other people? No. He says, I want you to forgive as the Lord forgave you. In fact, all of this points back to God. He says, I want you to be compassionate as God was compassionate with you. I want you to be kind and humble as God was kind and humbled himself for you. I want you to be gentle and patient as God is gentle and patient with you. Remember how many times you said to God, you know, I won't ever do that again, and then you busted that promise, and God was compassionate, gentle, and kind with you. You know how patient God is with you? Paul says, I want you to be known for extending that same kind of patience with other people. And then he says, over all of these characteristics, over all of these virtues, like an overcoat, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And that's Paul's way of saying, Jesus' kind of love is the canopy under which all of these other virtues emanate or hang, really. And back in September, in our revolutionary series, we said that religion asks the question, what's in it for me? Right? What's in it for me? How can I get good things from God? Whereas those who've chosen to follow Jesus and have experienced his grace ask the question, what does the love of Jesus ask of me? Not what's in it for me, but what does the love of Jesus ask of me? How can I give it to others? And Paul is saying by putting on these clothes, his point was this wardrobe, it's possible, but it's not natural. It doesn't happen automatically. It's part of choosing to follow Jesus each day, today, tomorrow. You know, when you get up, at lunch, in the office, walking in the halls at school, tomorrow at dinner, put on compassion, put on humility, put on kindness and gentleness and patience. Move at the speed of the other person. Because Jesus said, I want people to see me in how you live, not in how many times you attend church or how much Bible you know. I want people to identify you as one of mine because of how you treat them. And because these aren't natural, we need to make them intentional, right? The idea is that we pray and we say, God, help me put on compassion, because that's going to help me respond rather than to react to somebody's need. I want to at least pause so people sense that they are safe and that they're not alone. I want people to see that in your eyes, we are all loved by you. And I'm not going to leverage, you know, my strength as an advantage over others. I want to be kind. So help me see where I can loan my capacity to others and move at the pace of others today, whether I'm in a car or I'm at the office or I'm at school. And help me to be patient. I want to listen and respond with gentleness at their level of strength and capacity. And help me to see your forgiveness, not as an end to itself, but as a river that flows out as I forgive others. And we know that this isn't natural because, you know, at the end, Jesus introduced it as a new commandment, right? If it was natural, he wouldn't have had to say that, you know, because people do what is natural. So Jesus said, I want you to do something intentional. And Paul made that practical. Love people not the way they deserve or the way you naturally feel they deserve to be loved, but love them like I loved you. And that doesn't come naturally. And he also said, Jesus said, it's not a suggestion either. It's a command. I want this love to be the thing that distinguishes you as a follower of mine. You know what's really interesting? The less like any of these things we naturally are, the more noticeable they become when we clothe ourselves with them. Isn't that true? Paul says, put it on. And as you intentionally, just as intentionally as you put on clothes, put on these characteristics as part of your daily wardrobe. I think that is a great suggestion. As you're literally getting clothed in the morning, that you would put on these characteristics. Now, I want to help us, you know, give us something to help us remember to get dressed, certainly. So here's a simple acronym, I hope that you will remember. And to those who know me really, really well, you'll know that this fits. How many of you have ever been to Chick-fil-A? What? There's not enough people have been to Chick-fil-A. I know some of you are like, Chick-fil-A, that reminds me. I'm hungry. I'm going today. Not today, you're not. Just for those who've been there. Well, here's, I know this is going to be lame. I'm just telling you, it's going to be lame, but I think it'll help you. But for us in these characteristics, it's this. It's Chick-fil-A PG. Say that with me. Chick-fil-A PG. I couldn't hear you. Chick-fil-A PG. And here they are. Compassion, humility, kindness, forgiveness, love. I had to use and, so A, right, to get the A in there. Patience, gentleness, right? I know, it's lame. But I guarantee you, you won't forget it. Chick-fil-A PG. Compassion, humility, kindness, forgiveness, love, and patience, gentleness. See, what we physically wear most often, right? Isn't it most often about sending a message or making a point? And think about this. When Jesus came, he didn't come to make a point. He didn't. When Jesus came, if he wanted to make a point, he could have done so and been gone in 15 minutes. There was no need to die on a cross to make a point. Jesus showed up here to rescue out of God's love, to make a difference. But the church, right, the followers of Jesus, are not here to make a difference. I want to say that again. The followers of Jesus are not here to make a difference. We are here to be the difference Jesus has already made in how we love other people. And that doesn't happen visually. It happens physically as we show compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience, and forgiveness. In short, when we love others like our Heavenly Father has loved us through Jesus, we have a great opportunity to put that into practice as a body, definitely as individuals, but as a body through with Mansoor and Zubair. And we hope that that you'll consider, that you'll pray about, okay, how can I clothe myself? How can I avail myself? How can I share my strength to someone else? How can I be kind? And so later on this week, if you're looking for this message online, the title is going to be How Not to Be a Naked Christian. Okay? Just So there. I think we've probably all met, or I know I have been at some point, an underdressed Christian, an underdressed follower of Jesus. Somebody who has all the routines and rituals and information, but isn't fully dressed. And so my encouragement to us is, let's get dressed. As the followers of Jesus, or people who've decided to be the followers of Jesus, let's clothe ourselves, for goodness sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Jesus you have lavished a prodigal, lavish love upon us, that we absolutely, from our perspective, did not deserve. We want to believe that we did, but in your eyes we did. We were your creation who had gone astray, and you gave us your son Jesus to die, to pay the penalty that we had rightly incurred for our rebellion. Jesus took that, and now we get to be clothed in his righteousness. And Father, as we consider accepting the invitation to follow you in a relationship, Lord, particularly, Lord, for those of us who said, yes, I want to follow, I am following Jesus, Lord, as we consider what it is that we will wear on this journey, and Lord, you recognize, we recognize, we said it last week, in this world, we are going to have trouble. And it's real easy to wear things that are defensive or offensive to keep, you know, the world at bay, but you have shown us a better way to love, not like the world loves, not like we feel comfortable loving, but to love like Jesus has loved us. And Father, I ask that through your Spirit, you would help us to remember the clothing that you want the followers of Jesus to wear when we walk out and we engage with one another. Compassion, humility, kindness, patience, gentleness, forgiveness, and love. Your love, Lord, may that be the catalyst for the clothing that we wear, so that others may know that they are not alone, that there is love. They can receive compassion and kindness, and they can feel safe because there's gentleness, because the people who are following Jesus are near. Continue to stretch us. Continue, Father, to help us get dressed. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.